Communicating with the God of the universe can seem intimidating or even impossible. But for those willing to follow the instructions found in the Bible, prayer becomes a portal to strength, peace, and joy that is otherwise unattainable. A new series at Northgate Church compares praying to playing an instrument. At first, we might not know the notes or how to make a sound. But with practice, we learn to live in harmony with the one who loves us with an everlasting love.
Northgate. I'm Pastor Marcia. It seems appropriate I'm using a music stand, right, this morning because we're starting our new sermon series on prayer. And I've called it In Tune because when it comes to prayer, I think of God as the great composer, the great conductor, and each of us is a member of his band or his orchestra, if you prefer. And we each have an instrument to play. But we need, in order to tune in order to play in harmony with God's purposes for our lives, we need to watch him, to follow his lead, and to participate, to put some air in it. Or in the case of a guitar or another kind of instrument, to put some motion. There's something for us to do to participate in the kingdom of God through prayer. And so that's what we're going to explore today. And I am going to keep it simple because ice cream, but also because this concept of simplicity is an important part of my message. Prayer can seem intimidating or complicated, and frankly, I think that the adversary, the enemy of our souls, likes that. He likes to encourage that perception that, oh, we don't know how to pray, we don't know what to say, we have other things we have to do, anything that Satan can do to interfere with our participation in a loving relationship with our Creator, he will and can do. We know that from our series, previous series on the life of Job, right? He went to incredible lengths to interfere with Job's loving relationship with God and in his belief. So prayer is integral to our relationship with God. Now, before I delve into the message, I just want to share by way of community, by way of sharing my heart. Many of you know that I live in Albion. I was born and raised there. My husband Tom and I are raising our four kids in Albion. And we had a terrible tragedy this week. And frankly, it has made it hard for me to think about much of anything else other than a young man in our community who was killed in a car accident on late Monday night, Brennan Moody. And I just, as I prepared to speak to you today and as I've thought about prayer and as so many people have been pouring out their prayers for the Moody family and also for Sean Weiss, who is fighting for his life at ECMC, I thought it would be appropriate for us to just take time together as a community to pray in support of those folks. So let's do that now. Lord God, sometimes we don't know how to pray. Sometimes when terrible things happen, we don't want to pray. We want to scream. We want to cry. We want to just pound our fists and undo what happened, and we can't. We don't have that kind of power. But Lord, you are the source of all power, and the greatest power in the world is love. And we pray that you would surround the Moody family with your love and your comfort as only you can. I pray that you would draw people to yourself through this tragedy. I pray that you would heal Sean as he recovers from the accident in the hospital. Lord, we just need so much grace in our lives and in this particular situation. So we do what you've invited us to do, and we simply come and ask. We ask for your help. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I'm calling this first message, How and Why to Pray. Not that I'm going to give you a step-by-step, word-for-word formula for communicating with God, but I want to address that perception problem that I mentioned at first. It might prevent us from praying, and I want to suggest some attitudes, some postures of our heart that might make prayer more doable, more meaningful, more life-giving, and more frequent, right? The Bible tells us to pray without ceasing, and I'll confess I'm not quite there yet, but I do believe that God wants to be in constant communication with us. He has so much love and so much wisdom and so much help to offer us. And so let's try, shall we? Now, I've put the why in the message title in parentheses because it seems like it should be obvious, right? It should be obvious and intuitive. Jesus described himself as our source for all spiritual nourishment. In John 15:5, he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. So as followers of Jesus, prayer, which might be described as our internal interaction with God, it's like that vine to the branch, right? It's an essential part of remaining in him. To use another analogy, prayer is to our souls as air is to our lungs. Prayer is essential to our spiritual well-being, just as breathing is to our physical health. Without breathing, we can't live. Without praying, we can't live and grow and thrive in our life of faith. So my main point today is that prayer is not merely talking to God. It's not just a list of things that we want to tell him or ask him or tell him to do is more like it sometimes. Prayer is communicating with the one who made us, who loves us, and who invites us into a loving relationship with himself. One of the standard how-to guides to prayer is found in the acronym ACTS, A-C-T-S. And that's not just referring to the book of the Bible that tells us how the church got its start. It stands for something: adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. I'd like to take us through that briefly before I introduce a new acronym. It's a Pastor Marcia original. Let's go through ACTS first, though. A, adoration. The very first order of business in prayer is to adore God, to acknowledge the one to whom we are praying, to give God the glory that he is due. That is a very good place to start. And C, confession. Once we have spent some time acknowledging and adoring our holy God, well, that naturally leads us to realize our lack of holiness and those places in our lives where we have fallen short of God's standards. And the scripture tells us if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God offers us a fresh start. We have to confess. God's forgiveness is a beautiful gift, and it's freely given and it's readily available to everyone here, to the whole world. Confession is the way to unwrap God's forgiveness. T, thanksgiving. Last week, Pastor Vern quoted Charles Spurgeon, who said, the door of repentance opens into the halls of joy. I love that too. Thanksgiving is an expression of that joy that comes through confession and repentance. Repentance is not only admitting to God the things we've done wrong, it's also turning away from those things and making a commitment to doing the right things with God's help, always, always with God's help. Those halls of joy are lined with pictures of gratitude. We give thanks to God for the freedom that forgiveness brings and for the many other blessings that he gives us. And finally, S, supplication. Well, that's just a fancy word for telling God what we want, what we need, what we think we need, and putting our trust in him that he will provide what we truly need. But that's that long list that I talked about of things that are on our minds, on our hearts, on our prayer lists, on, you know, going on in our families' lives, our neighbors' lives. We pray for ourselves and we pray for those we love. The theologian R.C. Sproul points out that while this ACTS acronym is helpful for remembering the elements and priorities of prayer, unfortunately, we often spell our prayer life more like SCAT, S-C-A-T, because we start with supplication, right, our long list. We want to ask God, make sure we let him know what our requests are, and we spend very little time, if any, on the other elements of adoration, confession, and thanksgiving. And I agree with that assessment. We do tend to scat and skitter through our overpacked schedules. We tend to be very busy, very distracted, even right now. I know some of you are distracted right now. I know because I sit here too sometimes and listen to the sermon. I come to church in hope and expectation of hearing from God, but our brains keep going, don't they? They keep thinking about what we need to do next, what we should have done last week, what we, you know, you're experiencing it right now. We're very busy, we're very distracted, and we're very much in need of prayer. Yet, we human beings tend have a habit of seeking God only when we can very clearly see that we require his intervention in specific situations. We don't tend to seek him quite as earnestly or quite as often when we understand through the eyes of faith that we require his guidance in every situation. We ask God for his power when our problems overwhelm us. We often forget to invite God's presence, to carve out and cultivate a spiritual space of communion and companionship with our Lord, so that whatever problems come along, and they most certainly do and will, we already know and believe with confidence that he's with us, acting on our behalf, that he's guiding us through the decisions we have to make, the heartaches that we have to bear, the relationships that we either get to or have to develop and nurture and maintain, and I say get to or have to depending on if we like the person or not, right? Every day on this earth is uncharted territory for each of us, because no matter how long we've lived, either just 17 years, like our friend in Albion and Brennan, or 90-plus years, there are folks sitting in our sanctuary right now who have lived 9 decades or more. But no matter how long we've lived, each dawn brings a new slate of dangers, toils, and snares, of prospects and possibilities. I often think of the words of the author Frederick Buechner, who imagined God saying to us, here is the world. Beautiful and terrible things will happen. Don't be afraid. I am with you. Beautiful and terrible things do happen every day, all around us and in our own lives. And if we recognize that fact, and if we recognize our need for God's very present help in times of trouble, how then should we pray? Well, here's my new acronym for prayer. You heard it here first. Shh. That's right. Praying requires us to start by quieting our hearts, by distancing ourselves from our distractions, from tuning in to the Spirit of God who, through our faith in Jesus, is always with us, always listening, ready to hear us and help us. So we begin S, simply. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened."